Lucy's 3.
I almost turned 4 too.
It was actually the month before she turned 2. Lucy had been a late walker and had developed a head tilt.
I was doing my balance.
Right, we had problems with balance. And so our pediatrician sent us to get an MRI, and they pulled us back in the middle of it and said that they had found a mass and that she had a brain tumor and needed surgery pretty quickly to remove it. So about 4 days later, we went in. She had a 10-hour surgery.
Yeah. To remove
it. I was not expecting anything like that big of a diagnosis. So the MRI itself kept being delayed for other issues. And so by the time they finally got her back, I told Casey, why don't you just go back to work? You know, we won't get results for a few days. So unfortunately, he wasn't even there when I got the diagnosis. I had to call him to tell him to come back.
She calls me. I was expecting her to say, all good, no big deal. And when she calls me,
yeah,
I can't even understand what she's saying on the phone because she's like hysterical, or she's broken down so much to the point like she can't barely speak. And so they have to put the radiologist, and he had to tell me, hey, we need you to come back. We found something that is going to require. She's actually, an MRI usually takes about an hour, and they said she's still in there, and it's going to take another 45 minutes to an hour to keep looking at it and making more pictures with the MRI, and that I needed to come back. They had us meet with the chief neurosurgeon. Took the weekend to have it as a family and did some stuff, and took some had a friend who's a photographer, and she was cool to go meet with us at a park and take family photos, because we didn't know if she would be the same afterwards, because there was a lot of possible complications and side effects that could take place that were unknown variables at the time.
Well, at the time, Lucy was not even 2 years old yet, so there wasn't a lot to really discuss with her, but there were discussions with our older two, just to make sure they understood.
She could walk by the time this surgery happened, but afterwards, she couldn't stand. She couldn't even, like, sit, but they had to work on all that.
When we discussed doing chemo, we were worried about her balance and knowing that the chemotherapy could cause complications with neuropathy or drop foot, more balance issues. And the first 6 months are really critical in reteaching them to maintain balance and walking. So we were able to hold off on chemo just for a few months so we could get her walking again. So her surgery was in November of 2016, but she actually didn't start chemotherapy until March of 2017. And then she ended up completing 45 rounds. After 45 rounds of chemo, she had her port removed. And now we're in just like a monitoring status. So every 4 months we go back for MRIs just to make sure there's no regrowth. We were at Nemours and Wolfson's every Friday for a year. And we were there all day. I mean, it's a long process to get there and have her counts checked, make sure she was healthy enough for chemo, and then going through the process of receiving it. The staff there is amazing. I've kind of said when people ask that this has been the best, worst experience of our lives. Certainly if we could go back and erase it and not have her need to go through it, we would. But I couldn't imagine a better staff, a better facility, the support systems we have, like through the Child Cancer Fund. One of the best parts for Lucy was actually Miss Jolly and her position with Child Cancer Fund being sponsored by them. I think our Fridays would be very different if Miss Jolly wasn't there.
Oh, yeah. She was the best. She was always, I mean, you talk about having being a kid at heart, she's like the epitome of that. And she knew how to handle all different ages of kids. I mean, she seemed like their best friends. Even when you would have kids that were older, like teenagers would come in and be in the same room where we were, or kids as young as, because Lucy was by far the youngest that we ever saw, other than there were some young, like infants that would come in, but the ones that could communicate and wanted to play, she was by far the youngest. Just has that ability to be able to adapt to all the different types of kids and stuff. And
hey, when we would go in for chemo, what would Miss Jolly do?
We should
turn the lights off.
Turn turn the lights off.
We would turn the lights off, and then what would Miss Jolly do? What would she get out?
Would she get out her...
all her spinny lights?
Her spinning toys, like Elsa with her dress, or...
Minnie.
Yeah.
Have a light-up party.
Turn the lights off while you were getting your buddy worked on?
Yeah. What's your buddy?
Here, that's your scar. That's where Buddy was.
Yeah.
And we'd have to go in so Buddy could get his drink.
Yeah, her buddy is her chemo port. That's how it was described to us pretty much right away. And Miss Jolly would always
get his drink.
That's how it would always get referred to. And then she would, one of the first things she did was bring out this chemo, I don't know if it was called a chemo duck, but it was a little stuffed duck. And it had all of the same, it had a chemo port. It had all the medical things like the syringes and stuff that the kids that were about to go through chemo could actually hook up to the duck. And so we could show her, or she could just play with it so they knew kind of what was going on. They'd be familiar with all of the equipment so that it wouldn't hopefully scare them as much when they actually had to go through it. And
yeah,
so,
that was hugely helpful. But,
for the kids or for you or both?
For all of us.
Probably mostly for us, but yeah, for the kid, for her as well.
Yeah, they provided us with the chemo duck for medical play. And so we were able to kind of go through it with her, and she would practice cleaning the site and putting her port on and covering it up. And I think it made it less scary for her when we would end up going in.
Isn't it fun to compete for microphone time, Melanie?
Take your hands off. Just talk. What do you want to tell them?
They don't know why I have my sister.
What about your sister?
She always does tape stuff on my eyes and prank me.
She pranks you?
Pranks you?
Yes, I did.
Going back to Miss Jolly, they went with us a lot when they weren't in school, the older kids, and always included them. In any type of playing. There's painting there, but there's also toys and books and all sorts of stuff that the kids can do. And she always included all siblings, even though Lucy was the one going through it.
To have help in keeping the family whole through one person who kind of got it and understood, that had to have been... I don't know how you put a price on something like that from the family's perspective.
No, I mean, you really can't, because you're already going through a roller coaster of emotions. And again, you know, worrying about all the, number one, her health in general, and making sure that hopefully she's going to get back to a point where she is now, which is essentially completely healthy. But also all the financial stuff that you're, you know, I'm a worrier when it comes to that, and making sure that all that's in line, and we've got our jobs. So having her there, Miss Jolly, was kind of like, I mean, almost seemed like sometimes we would go there and she would just sort of take over. Not like a babysitter, but just as a playmate, you know, and then if we just needed a chance to have some downtime while we were there, she didn't have any problem with that. You know, it was like she knew that that was... I'm going to say that is her job, but she also just loved to do it. She didn't treat it like a job. She treats it like it's just, she gets to go and play with kids, you know?
And it's, I mean, it can be a scary experience for anyone, not just the kids, but for the adults, too. We don't really know what to expect. They always made it fun. You know, someone was always there to greet you, and then she would light up the room when her port was being accessed.
What? Can I tell you something?
What do you want to tell me?
After we do this, are we gonna go bye-bye and eat lunch when we do this?
You know what I want you to tell him? Let me tell him something, and then I need you to sing a song for him. Okay?
No.
So when we went, they would do activities before she would go in.
Yeah.
Or before she went in to get her port accessed. They had activities. They had activities when she was getting her port accessed. And then they also would have an activity afterwards. So something to have her look forward to. And it ended up being where she honestly really enjoyed going. And she created her own little song that she would sing on the way to chemo. Lucy, what did you used to sing? Can you sing your...
What was your song in the car that you would sing
chemo on
your way?
time. Time to go Camelot.
Sing it one more time.
Time to go Camelot.
Time to get my chemo on is what she was saying, but she would sing it over and over. And it was almost like she was sadly excited to be on her way. But that's the kind of environment that they created there, was that it wasn't scary. I think it kind of helped make us a little, you know, made it a little easier every time, because we knew that she was taking it so well, even though she's the one going in there getting poked and prodded and stuck with needles and stuff like that. So definitely made it easier.
What do you want to say, Kate?
When Lucy got her chemo on, it was sad.
Mm-hmm. Why was it so sad?
Because she's only a little baby. I was worried about her.
How is she today?
She's good. Oh, and on the last day of chemo, we had a little party and they brought out some candy.
Candy for the party? And I hear about the parties that they throw.
They dress up, like, all the staff, all the nurses, even the oncologists would come out, the ones that are there that day. Some make special trips to come out even if they're off that day, and they all dress up in crazy wigs and, you know, things on their face and wacky glasses and stuff, and they have a little party, and they all give her a big, like a poster board, and everyone signs it, and they stick on stickers and lollipops
and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's all a big surprise.
That's cool. Can you read that number that's in front of me then, Kate?
Me?
Are you able to do that? Do you see that? Read that number there.
Yep, say please call.
Please call 855-636-6877.
Say it one more time and say it with passion and please call.
Please call 855-636-6877.
Say it one more time.
855-636-6877.
Ben's, he wants to do the phone number too. I love that.
Please call 855-636-6877. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Charlie. I love you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story. They're hard days that happen. It's a journey. It really is a journey, right?
Absolutely.
And you've got a lot of families out here that are supporting you in so many ways. And so we want to try to make it happen for you and for future families that get the diagnosis. About 130 in Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia every year at 855-636-6877. The future appears very bright. Y'all are very optimistic.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. It's... She's, you know, as long as the MRIs keep showing stability and nothing else there, which is all it's shown ever since she got it removed. Yeah, future's bright.
Thank you so much.
One of the other things that was helpful for us with the Child Cancer Fund is sponsoring a dinner for the Mothers for Hope. For our situation, we were not inpatient. So every Friday, we were at the hospital or the clinic, but we don't have that same interaction with a lot of the other families that you would have if you are inpatient. So for us, that was also very helpful to have a group like that, that you can get together and meet other moms for support as well.
We process these things individually as human beings, and as men, we process things as women. To have the mothers going through that, was that a different kind of conversation even from your husband?
It was. I've always said my husband Casey has been my rock. I'm the very emotional one, and he's very stable. And although he's very supportive, it's different sometimes when you just have other moms to talk to and you're worried about the same things, and you can cry together and have those types of talks that you wouldn't normally have with your best friend or with your spouse.
She's definitely the type of person that benefits from being able to have other outlets, especially other moms out there that are going through the same thing.
I think
and my family, I use my family a lot, you know, bounce things off of them and just was able to talk to them about things. So
that for you and I have talked about that. One of the things that has been helpful is actually doing things like this where we can share our story and talk about the groups that have been helpful for us. Just feel like it's kind of our way of being able to help, so that way these resources are still here for the people that are unfortunately gonna get diagnosis behind us.
Then read that number one more time there, Melanie.
Yes.
Or Kate or Lucy or everyone.
Please call 855-636-6877.
One more time.
855-636-6877.
And the two most important words.
Thank you.